And let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning and this morning's service. We thank you for your goodness as always to us. And thank you, Lord, for the start of this new year. We're up to a good start. And we know that you got great things in store for us. And we want to worship you and praise you and acknowledge you for today's service. Thank you for everybody that's here. The entrance of your word, we know, as always, brings light. And we ask that that light will shine in our hearts today. Give us singleness of heart, oneness of purpose, a united mind, a united effort to do the work that you have called us to do. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on. Put your hands together. Amen. So this morning, I am going to be speaking by the grace of God on GMI Vision 2020. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the first thing I want to do is read one scripture here before we get started. Turn with me to, and you have to use your Bible. We don't have the display. 1 Corinthians, I want to read from chapter 1. I'll read about verse 10 or so. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, and that ye all be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that's very important for ministry. You know, we can't have people thinking one way and somebody else thinking a different way. So we're going to lay it out here today, and you're going to hear it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We've done that before, but I felt that we should do that again this year. And we have some other things that, some updates and so forth. And, you know, everybody that's part of the ministry needs to get with the program. Amen.
Amen.
So we all got to be the same, with the same mind and the same vision that the Lord wants us to have. Let me read another verse of scripture before we go on. I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2. Read about perhaps verse 2 or so. And it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Amen?
Amen?
That's right. You know, so it is important that we be of one accord and one mind. We all need to know where the ministry is headed. And, you know, so we know what we are doing. You know, and so the Lord also, you know, told Habakkuk, he said, look, make their vision plain. Don't hide it. Reveal it plainly, that he may run that readeth it. Amen.
Amen.
So we want people to run with it. You know, so, you know, we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to just take it slowly today. You know, there's some things I want to cover. And I'm going to invite people to take notes, because this is important. I've been wanting to do this for quite a while, and just leading up to it, just praying and just wondering how the Lord will bring it all together. You know, but I think we're ready. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, so I am going to be speaking from, in a minute, a scripture in the Old Testament in Haggai. But before I do that, one more verse I want to read to get us on the same page. This is in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 16. It says, be of the same mind, one toward another. So these scriptures that I've read so far, they're talking about being on the same mind, being on the same page, be like-minded, you know, speak the same thing, the same mouth, and so forth. We don't want to speak somebody saying this thing, another person doing something else, or so forth. You know, so that's why I read those scriptures. But the real text that I have to preach from today is in the book of Haggai, Haggai, some people call it that way, right? I call it Haggai. You know, so let's turn to that, if you will. And that's in the very first chapter is where I'm going to read. And I will be reading most of this chapter. I want to do it slowly and teach from it. So I want everybody to pay attention. I'm going to read perhaps even the entire chapter of Haggai, chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, and in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord unto Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, this is what the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built is not come, basically, is what they said. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your own sealed houses, and that this house should lie in waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So I'm going to be drawing a parallel between several things that we are challenged with from this chapter and where we are today in the ministry. Amen? So, now, their purpose then was to build the house of the Lord. Well, you know, you can compare that to the work of the ministry, you know, that we're doing here. You know, so the Lord said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, he's the one that's doing the building, but we are co-laborers with him in the vineyard. But we have some specific work, you know, so whereas they talk about building the house of the Lord here, we will be paralleling that with the work of the ministry. So, he said, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and brought in little. Now, we talk about, you know, why are some things not fulfilled? Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe ye, but ye are not warm. You know, and he that earneth wages to put in a bag of holes. Now, that's not our portion in Jesus' name. But there's a reason why these things are happening today, that they're not paying attention to the work of the ministry. They're not paying attention to the house of the Lord. They're just doing their own thing and so forth. You know, and God wasn't happy with it. Now, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And here's the encouragement. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're not building any, we're not going up to the, we're not bringing any physical house, but we are building a spiritual house here. Amen. The Bible says, ye yourselves are built up a spiritual house unto the Lord for an holy habitation of God through the Spirit of God. Now, so the work of the ministry that we're doing or trying to do here is parallel. We're paralleling that to the effort that they were being challenged with here in building the house of the Lord. And the Lord said in verse 9, but he gave a promise. Now, look at that promise that he gave in verse 8. It's a very critical promise. If you get up and you engage, the Lord said, I myself will be a part of it and I will glorify in it. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. Now, he said, he looked for much and it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew upon it. Why? Why, saith the Lord? Well, he said, because of my house that lieth in waste. Or we can say because of the work of the ministry that is neglected and not done. You know, and he says, you know, and you run every man to his own house. You know, so everybody is doing their own thing. You know, everybody is doing their own business and so forth. But we're not doing this work of the ministry like the Lord has called us, and he's not happy about it. Now, therefore, he said, the heaven over you was stayed from dew. See? The heaven was stayed from dew, and the earth stayed from bringing forth her fruit. And I called for a drought on the land, and upon the mountains and the corn, and upon the new wine and the oil, and upon the, you know, that which grew in the ground and so forth, and upon the men, upon the cattle, upon the labor of your hands. You don't want that. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want the Lord to bring a drought upon the labor of our hands. You know, what the Lord said is, let the beauty of our God shine upon the work of our hands. Amen. But we got to put the Lord first. You know, so, you know, these people, they didn't put the Lord first. Everybody was trying their best to do their thing, you know, do their labor and money, running up and down, doing all of these things, you know, which they needed to do. But the Lord said, well, because you neglected, you know, my house, I blew upon it. And it's like, you did all that labor and you enter into a bag of holes. And God wasn't happy with it. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, we all, notice, see, there's a good thing about, you know, nobody is perfect. But when the Lord rebukes us and brings us back to order, it's a wonderful thing if the people get in order. Amen? You know, but if the people don't do and they just say, well, whatever, and it enters one ear, like they say, I come out the other ear, then it doesn't do us any good. But if we tremble at his word, you know, these people, with all the people and all the remnants of the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And they obeyed the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. See, then spake Haggai unto them when he saw that they were, you know, afraid of the word of the Lord and they were ready to do as the Lord said. Then he spoke unto them, he said, you know, and he brought comfortable words. And he said, the Lord, he spoke unto them in the Lord's message unto the people. And he said, behold, saith the Lord, I am with you. Amen. And the Lord stirred up their spirits to do the work. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all. See, it wasn't just the spirit of the ministers. He also stirred up the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came out and they did the work of the Lord of hosts, their God. The work of the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Amen. You know, so this is our challenge. This is my challenge to the church today. And I'm drawing a parallel, you know, with what they had to do, you know, and what we have to do. And God wasn't happy with the fact that the house of the Lord lied in waste while they were all pursuing their own things and so on and so forth, you know. And so we can look at it today, you know, and say, well, we're not where we want to be in the ministry. We're not doing all the things that Lord called us to do in the ministry, but we are so consumed, many of us, with our things, you know, which we have to do, right? And I'm not making light of the fact that we got to go to school, we got to go to work, we got to do all these things and so forth. But, you know, but you'll find out, you know, by the time we finish here today, that we got to put the Lord first. Amen. If we don't already know that, or if we know it but we're not doing it, well, we're going to call us out today to do it. Amen. Well, you know, I can only speak the message of the Lord. You know, and I prayed that the Lord would stir up the spirit of the people, like he did the remnant of the people in those days. Amen. You know, so we're going to be drawing some parallels there, but let me stop and just talk to us heart to heart for a minute. You know, about where we are and what God called us to do in the ministry. We spoke about this a few months back when we had the last town hall meeting. You know, but I just want to point out some things. I'm not going to have time to go into all the things we already spoke about before, but it's all on our website. What is the mission that God called us to? And I'm going to be speaking about a specific vision 2020 that the Lord gave us. I will be at the end of this. You know, but the mission that the Lord called us to, one is to bring the love of Christ to those who are in darkness. To share the love and the light of God with them so that their eyes may be enlightened and they may come to the knowledge of the truth and inherit the same things with us the saints in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. And also to teach the believers righteousness, faith, and love till we all come into the fullness of that measure. So we are preparing, as we are doing the work of the Lord, bringing in new people into the kingdom. We are also focused on building, and these things are explained clearly on our website, so you can go back and read it. and read about the ministry and about and our mission and vision and purpose and all of that. It's there. You know, while we are doing that, bringing in the people that are new, we're also trying to develop the people that are in the Lord already. Amen. So it's a twofold purpose. You know, we're not just want to fill the whole place with people and they're not going anywhere. No. We want to disciple the people. We want everybody, you know, to grow in the Lord and become more like Christ. Amen. And we want to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. That's very important. Now, you can do all these things. You can have all these things. You know, Jesus said, look, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. Now, I can't say that every one of us is always doing that. And all these other things that we are seeking after shall be added unto you. Now, that's a promise. And I've noticed it in my life. When I put the Lord first, and I put the work of the ministry, I put, you know, things about the ministry and things about other people first, God takes care of my business. Praise the Lord. And he does, you know, and it's wonderful, you know, so. You know, so, but, you know, the vision that the Lord gave us at the beginning, the work of the ministry and so forth, you know, and Jesus said it himself, my meat, John 4:34, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not just start it, but finish it. Amen. Yes. So, you know, we started, but we slacked off. And this year, we have to re-engage. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, so I am going to make it very plain and very clear so that you may run when you hear it and understand. Run means take the ball and run with it. Now, the GMI ministry is not just about plain church. I mean, if all you do here in the ministry is come to church once a week on Sundays, if that's all you do, you know, and you're not engaged in the ministry, then you are playing church. You know, and that's not what God called us to do. Now, the fellowship like this, when we come together for fellowship, it's a very integral part of the ministry of building the body of Christ. We can't, you know, neglect that. We cannot neglect the assembly of one another together as the manner of some is. We can't do that. But there are many aspects of the ministry. In case you don't know of all the facets of the ministry, we also have a page on our website. We don't have the display today. I would have shown you certain things. But on our website, we have all the GMI ministries that you can engage with. You know, on top of all of that is our Soul Winners Action Team. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's right. We've got the Praise Team. We've got the prayer team. We've got all of these other things and so forth, you know, and they all work hand in hand. Our prayer team is so vital. I'll talk a little bit about each of these. The prayer team, you know, it's like intercessory prayer is the backbone of any ministry. Praise the Lord. You know, if we don't have people praying, the services will just be disjoint. The work of the ministry will be disjoint. You know, but when we have people really praying, I mean, people who are in the prayer ministry, they don't seek to be recognized. They're just, their business is prayer. Praise the Lord. But perhaps, it's perhaps the most important part of the ministry. You know, they get behind the ministry and they're praying and the Lord is answering. Now, you know, let's talk about prayer. You know, if you're not praying for this ministry, then you are dropping the ball. You know, we need to be praying for this ministry. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
That's right. You know, otherwise, why are you a part of it? You know, I mean, I don't understand. You know, people are just come and just be there and you're not really concerned and not praying. What are you doing there? You know, you need to be praying for the ministry that the Lord will enable the ministry to fulfill its course, which is bringing in souls. The Bible says my house needs to be filled. Go into the byways and hedges and compel them coming. And when we come, when we bring them in, we have to disciple them. Praise the Lord. We're not just looking for numbers just to fill up the place. That doesn't mean anything. You know, we must develop into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. So it's not just about quantity, it's more about the quality. You know, but we want the numbers as well, because God said we have to do it. Amen? You know, the Bible says the multitude of people is the king's glory. You know, so we got to do that. You know, we got to bring in the people, and we got to enrich the kingdom of God by developing the people as well. So we got all these ministries. The soul, our Soul Winners Action Team ministry is one place where you can be a part of it. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, you're witnessing on your own. No, I'm talking about us doing something jointly together. Amen.
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 You know, we come to church together on Sundays. Why can't you just say, well, I'm going to stay home and just worship on my own? No, we know there's a purpose to it. We come together. So there's also a purpose to it when we have events, you know, let us take time, come out together. I'm going to talk about some specific events in a minute. You know, so I don't have time to go through all the ministries, but we have all those ministries. And I want to thank our Soul Winners Action Team, those who have been faithfully coming. I want to thank our prayer team as well. You know, they have been doing a lot of work. I want to thank the praise team. There are so many people that are engaged in different parts. You know, we wanted an opportunity for people to be engaged. That's why we have this many activities in the church. We created the review thing so that some of the younger folks who are not part of the body of preachers, you know, can also get a chance to, you know, do something in the church. You know, if you look at our services, our regular services, you'll see that, you know, there are many people that participate in a single service, because that was part of also the vision. We didn't want it to be a one-man show or just one or two people doing the whole thing. We want everybody as much as possible to be engaged. Praise the Lord. When you come in the service, there is somebody that does the prayer in the morning. Then the praise team is there. Then somebody does the review. Then some people do Sunday school. And then some people do this and that. You know, by the time you go through the whole service, there's about 15 or more people that are engaged. You know, but that's just on Sunday. And that's wonderful. We thank everybody that's been doing that on Sunday. But we want to expand beyond just Sunday. Praise the Lord. Now, God didn't call us to be a Sunday-only ministry. You know, which is wonderful. You know, but, you know, he called us to be an all-day, all-week ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in our ministry events, we have slacked off. And we need help. And I'm going to be talking about something in the next few minutes. So pay attention. You know, and I'm going to just speak from the heart. When we started this ministry, we wanted a presence. We wanted a GMI presence in everything that was going on in the city when there was a lot of people. We had, like, you know, the Martin Luther King parade. We were there. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
We used to take our praise team, we'd be there on the stage. And we would mingle, we'd wear our t-shirts, and we'd mingle among the people, the crowd, and we would preach the gospel to them. When they had the Juneteenth, we were there. When they had the Arizona State Fair, we were there. I mean, we were always there in any of those events where there was a lot of people gathered in the city. How many of you remember that? Those who were here at the beginning, who remember that? You know. Now, today, I don't know what's going on, but we're no longer in those things. And God is calling for us to get engaged again. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Starting this Martin Luther King's holiday that's coming on in about a week or so. You know, let's get involved. There's a lot of people there already. When there's a lot of people and people are in a festive mood, that's a perfect moment. We're not talking about them just coming to GMI Church. It doesn't matter whether they come. Look, when you go to places like that and they're out there, you know, downtown, they're not going, we're not talking about them coming to a church. They could have come from anywhere. But whether they come to the church or not, we have an opportunity to present the gospel to people. Amen.
Amen.
Did you know that back in those early days, we were actually on stage and we had an opportunity to present our music ministry and speak a few words to a large crowd? You know, and why not? You know, they have all kinds of religions that are there. So why not the body of Christ get in there and speak a good word for the Lord? Amen.
Amen.
Now, every chance we get, we need to be engaging in these things. You know, we need help. We can't. Look, if the preachers are going to be the pastors, and they're going to be the administrators, and they're going to be the workers, they're going to be the this and the this. You know, they're going to wear themselves out. And they did already. That's why all those events dwindled out. But we need to re-engage. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, only what's done for the Lord is going to last. Behold, I come bringing my reward with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. You know, we're not rewarded for being believers. You know, that's something that's imputed unto us by faith through the new birth. We are rewarded for the works that we do. Praise the Lord. Now Jesus said something, and I want to speak about it now. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Amen. And I wrote down an acronym here that, you know, I want to use for this scripture, you know, about where your treasure is and so forth. So let's read first, before I go into that, let's read, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Now this is a different kind of message today, and of course, we preach all kinds of messages, so don't, you know, you have to come to every service. Last Sunday message was different from this. The one on New Year's Eve was different from this. Every one of them is different. So we don't speak like this all the time. You can go to our website at any time, listen to any of the messages. You'll see that it's a complete repertoire of everything. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Can somebody say amen? Where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, and no thieves can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can everybody say that with me? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, Jesus didn't say, you know, if you put your heart into it, or if your heart is into it, then you will put your treasure into it. Yeah, because some people say, well, I'm not supporting you because my heart is not in it. You know, Jesus said exactly the opposite. If you put your treasure into it, then your heart will be there. You know, because if you put your money in the bank, you know, and you heard that they were robbing that bank and that bank burnt down, would you not be concerned? Of course you will be. You know, because your treasure is in there. You know, so when your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, if your heart is not there, maybe that's, you don't consider it treasurable. Maybe that's why your heart is not there. You know, and the Lord said, well, I'm not happy about it, because this house lies in waves, and all of you are in your sealed houses, and all of you are doing your things and so forth. We're not telling you not to do your things, but we need to put the Lord first. Amen. Now, and everybody needs to make up their mind whether they are going to engage in this work or not. You can't just be you can't be sidelined, you can't be a passenger, you can't sit on the fence, you know. You got to be engaged. What are you going to show to the Lord when he comes? I mean, you may make it in, but you may have no reward for nothing, you know. So, you know, we got to get involved. And, you know, so that's what we're talking about today. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I wrote, and I was meditating about this throughout the week, and some words came to me, so I wrote down this acronym, and I'm going to use it to talk to us for the next few minutes. I wrote it down here so I wouldn't forget. You know, most of the time I don't preach from long notes. I just write down scriptures. Just a little index card is all I use. You know, just write down scriptures. But I wrote this down. Treasure. What is treasure? And I'm going to spell it. And I want you to write it down. Take notes of it. I'm going to spell it. Each of the letters that spell the word treasure, I'm going to spell it out and use it to encourage us with something. Put a meaning to it. Might help you remember. The first letter in the word treasure is T. Well, the first thing that comes to mind with T is time. Amen. You got to put your time into it. You know, you can't, you know, treasure, you got to put your time. You know, that comes to mind. And I said, Lord, you know, wow. You know, do you know that the time is actually the Lord's? You know, amen? The time belongs to the Lord. We don't have any time at all except what he gives us. You know, and if you don't pay attention to time, you won't know it until it's already gone. Time is something that you can't see until it's gone. You know. But you can make use of the time that you've got and put your time into the work of the ministry. Amen. Amen. Now, the next letter in the word treasure is R. And the young students might find this interesting as well. You know. So, R is resources can be used for the kingdom of God. Put your time and put your resources into it. We're defining treasure in a different kind of way today. And if I ask people what treasure is, they probably think of most women have a treasure chest in their home where they have their trinkets and their gold and their wristbands and their necklaces and their earrings and all the stuff and so forth. You know, treasure. Well, yeah, that kind of treasure. But I'm talking about a different kind of treasure today. Praise the Lord. So we talked about time, we talked about resources. What about E? Well, the first word that came to mind as I was writing this down, and you know, I saw multiple words in my mind. The first one that came to mind is effort. You know, the work of the ministry takes a lot of effort. And it takes a lot of work. I mean, do you know that even when we come to church on Sundays, for the service to be beautiful, it takes a lot of work. I mean, some people had to come out here this morning because we had a party here on Friday, and all of these things were not here on this makeshift stage, you know. And we had to do something for the church that uses this place on Saturdays, and it was a different setup here. And some people had to come here early today and set this up, you know, so that we can have good music and all of that, you know. Even simple things like just coming to church service takes a lot of work sometimes. The praise team have to practice, and it helps. When they have good practice, and they, you know, we have good rehearsals, everybody can see it. And if they don't have a good practice, or they haven't practiced for a while, then we see it too. And it's kind of like a minister to preach. If the minister is not ready, and comes here, he'll be fumbling for scriptures. But if he's ready, the word will flow. Amen. Are you following me? So everything in the ministry, you know, takes time and effort. And even when we call him into the service, you know, sometimes the little kids are running around and so forth like that, you know, and, you know, because of the way we have our building, we don't want them to run out the door. You know, it takes an effort also to keep the children safe. So some of us are always standing there by the door. It's not because I don't like to sit down. Some people say, why is he always standing up? Because I see one of my favorite little girls always trying to run out the door. You know, I want to make sure that, and then we don't want somebody just walking out the door and be a threat to the kids. You know, but I don't think that the person who's going to preach should be the one standing by the door. Are you following me? Yes. You know, we need to have volunteers for this kind of thing. You know, I mean, if I'm spending the whole time trying to run around and so forth, how's my mind going to be on my preaching and all that? You know, we need to have volunteers for this. There's a lot of things that we can do in the ministry. Even when it's as simple as just coming to the service, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. And we want people to engage in the service. I mean, don't come to the service late. Come to the service on time and engage. Help us to do some of these things that need to be done. Well, of course, we don't do this on a regular basis. You know, once we are in there, we're in there. This is a makeshift thing. We're not always organizing the stage. Once it's done, it's done. You know, but I'm just bringing out a point. Now, we've talked about T, R, and E. I spent a little time talking about E there because of effort. What about A? What's the word that came to mind? Well, the one word that came to mind for me, and there were several, and I picked one, that was anticipation. You know, you need to be in anticipation of something good, you know, for you to be invest your time and be a part of it. If there's no anticipation of something good, you know, you'll soon get discouraged. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then we also think of S, which is support. I thought of support. Now, support is not just, when I throw out the word support, people are thinking of put their money in. No, we've already talked about time, resources, and all that. You know, support comes in many ways. The first thing that came to mind was, how do you support the ministry the most? And I've already talked about it. It's through your prayers. If you're not praying for the ministry, then you're not supporting the ministry, you know, as much as you should. You should be praying for the ministry. Praise the Lord. When we first started the church many years ago in our first building on Greenway Road, you know, we had a prayer team that used to come out there around 9 o'clock or 9:15 and pray before the service, you know. And the purpose then was to pray for the ministry, not pray for the whole world, you know. Pray for the ministry. Praise the Lord. You know, we can pray for the whole world, that's fine. But when we come into the ministry, we want to pray for the ministry. You know, so, you know, let's focus. Let's get back with that and so forth. Now, we have a lot of prayer meetings where we pray for the world. We pray for the body of Christ. We do all of these things. That's wonderful. But we must not neglect to pray for this ministry. Praise the Lord. And I personally, I have determined that this year, I am going to be saying, God bless GMI Church and prosper the GMI vision. Amen.
Amen.
It's a prayer. And I'm going to be saying every chance I get. You know, because we need to get behind the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm not saying that we're not getting behind it. A lot of people are behind it in their various ways. But I'm just using the scripture to challenge us, just like Haggai challenged the others. When he was challenging Joshua the high priest, was it because he wasn't doing his high priest things? He was doing it. Was it because the governor wasn't governing? They were governing. Was it because the people were not going to service? They were going to service. But there was something missing. And God was calling it out. You know, so what, the fact that I'm calling it out doesn't mean, I'm not saying that people are not doing whatever. But I'm saying that God is still calling us out because we're not doing enough. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the next letter in spelling the word treasure is U. Well, of course. It's you right there. Amen. So we need you. Praise the Lord. You know, not somebody else, but you. But also the word, one word came to mind was understanding. You know, you have to have understanding. You know, some people are quick to be offended. You know, something doesn't go well. You know, like, okay, why are you here? Why are you not there? You know, well, we're doing construction. Praise the Lord. You know, so be patient, have understanding, and be a part of the process and a part of the solution. Amen.
Amen.
And we want you, not somebody else, but you. Now, the next letter that comes in spelling treasure, what will be the next letter? Any of the kids?
R.
So we already talked about resources in the first R, but here I talk about resolve. You know, you need to have a determination. You need to have a resolve, you know, that nothing, you're not going to break fellowship because of one thing or the other that happened that you didn't like. You know, you're going to be a part of it and you're going to be a finisher. You're not going to start and quit. You're not going to jump ship either. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. He said, anybody know what that scripture might be? Luke 9:62. He said, look, no man having put his hand into the plow and look at bath is what? Not fit for the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. You know, so if you put your hand into the plow, remember Lot's wife. We preached a message on that. It's on the website. You should listen to it. It's a good one. Remember Lot's wife. And the Lord told her, don't look back. Yeah, but she did. Well, you know the end of that story. She became a pillar of salt. You know, but when you put your hand on the plow, and this goes to all the young folks as well, when you start something, finish it. Have you heard me say that many times? So, the same thing in the work of the ministry. Whosoever puts his hand on the plow and look it back and change his mind about it, Jesus said, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So let's put our hand on the plow and let's stay the course. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul, at the end of his time, he was able to say, look, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. Well, we haven't finished our course yet. But we can be keeping the faith. We can be staying the course. And we can be fighting the good fight. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, the last letter is E. And many things come to mind about that. And we talked about one E before. But I want to talk about excitement. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, gotta be excited about what you are investing into. If you're not excited, you're just doing nonchalantly, very soon, you know, you're going to lose interest in it. You've got to be excited about the things of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. You know, so going through it real quickly one more time. We have T for time, R for resources, E for effort, A for anticipation, S for your support, U for you and your understanding, R for resolve, and E for excitement. Praise the Lord. You know, if you have a house, a building project that's taken a long time. And I remember, I experienced it when I was a young man. My dad was trying to build a house. And when he went and laid the foundation, we were all excited. Everybody went there. You know, I came from the boarding school and all that. We went there. They did a big party and they were all excited. And after a while, he built the thing up to a point. The thing just died. Everything fizzled away. And, you know, everybody lost excitement. And for many, many years, the thing just was there. Then all of a sudden, after many years, he got out enough funds to come back, and he had to tear the whole thing down because the design was outdated and rebuilt. And all of a sudden, there was another excitement. And there was more excitement when it was just about time to put on the roof, you know. So I see that when we started, you know, I tell you something. When we started the GMI ministry, there was a lot of excitement. Hallelujah. Amen. People came out. I remember the first day we had a service. And the night we were still tearing these chairs that you're sitting on here. Was what we're using in our first group. We were still tearing them out of the plastic wrappers that they came from. We're using scissors and blade and everything. And putting it together and putting all the cables all the way. And people were there excited. Praise the Lord. When we moved from that building, I moved to the next building. You know, people were excited. People came out and were helping us to wash the chairs and wash the floors. And, you know, we're excited about the fact that we're in a new building. Even though the building was looked nothing like what you would use for a church. It was just a mess. We had to do a lot of construction. But people were so excited because there was change. There was something going on. And then after a while, we all settled down. Everything's comfortable. And we lose the excitement. And when we're moving to this building, my land, was there excitement or was there excitement? Everybody was excited. Praise the Lord. Including yours truly. You know, we came out here. We had a more than 24 hours of prayer. How many people remember that? That's right. I spent more than 24 hours here. We called for a 24-hour prayer when we first started. But I and some people were here longer than 24 hours. We prayed round the clock. And a lot of people were here. We were so excited. We went around the building. We did all kinds of things. So people were excited. Now today, if we call for prayer meeting, God help us if we get 8 people. What's happening, folks? Well, the excitement has died. People are no longer excited. You know, it's always when there's something new, we're excited for a little bit, and then it dies down. Folks, this ought not to be. Amen. This ought not to be. Why is it that this house lies in waste? Saith the Lord. And you all are in your sealed houses. You all are running after your businesses, your careers, and all of these things, which you should do, but don't neglect the other. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so, last but not the least, you know, all of that was to prep us for getting back and engaging. And if you say, well, how can I engage? Well, I've already told you, look at the ministries that are on the website. If you don't know, ask some of the pastors. Come and talk to me. Talk to Pastor Emmanuel or Pastor Peter. We'll tell you what's going on. We'll tell you where you can get engaged, you know. And, you know, but if you were paying attention, I've already highlighted some of the parts that you can really get engaged in. But our vision 2020. Now, first, there's a catch phrase there, you know. It's a vision, of course. And 2020 is a catch phrase. Like, it's like we want you to see clearly, you know, 2020. But it's also the year 2020, you know, if the Lord tarries, here's where we want to be. You know, some of us are in corporate America and our jobs and so forth. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, we just do things anyhow. Well, you know, I have experienced, you know, I worked for a company now. For many years, I was a consultant, and I worked for myself. And a year and a half or so ago, I joined the company that I was working for as a consultant. Some of you heard that story. I'm not going into that. But since I joined the company, you know, I've been learning some things about that company because of the way they do business. When I joined the company, now this is not, I'm not the one that did this, I'm just saying it. You know, it's not me, it's not what I did. But when I joined the company, you know, and just before I joined, the company was not even in the Fortune 500. In a few months, they moved to not only 500, they're now in Fortune 100. The last time I checked, they were number 66. Now that's something. That's some progress. Amen?
Amen?
Now how are they doing it? And I've been learning some things about it. Well, they make clear the vision to everybody. And they make everybody understand it and be a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of the kingdom. Why is that? You know, and they have a slogan. They're in the healthcare industry. They have a slogan. It's similar to the Phoenix Impact Center, actually. They have a slogan. And the slogan is, you know, improving the lives of people in the community we serve, one life at a time. That's good. Praise the Lord. You know, and I said, well, if we can improve the lives of the people in the community that we try to serve, one life at a time for the kingdom of God, that would be great. Amen. So I've been learning some things, and I'm trying to see, well, you know, how can we use some of this information that we're learning? You know, so here's our vision 2020. We have the GMI church and the GMI ministries, and we also have the Phoenix Impact Center. They are sister ministries side by side. Of course, GMI is the parent, and the Phoenix Impact Center, we named this building Phoenix Impact Center, but we actually have a 501c3 called Phoenix Impact Center. We did that so that we can use that as an opportunity, as our avenue for reaching out to the community, for community initiatives and various things like that. You know. And there's a lot still to be done with that, and we're working on it. There are many things we tried to start when we started. There's a lot of things all at once, and it looked like we beat up more than we could chew. And we stepped back, and we didn't have enough, you know, numbers to help us do the projects we wanted to do. But we have some things that we planned. Our hope for Phoenix Impact Center was that this place would be like a little community center. We'd reach out to community, well, not just for church. Church would be one of the things that they would find out that we had here when they came here, you know. So it wasn't the main thing. But right now, the church is the main thing. We have nothing else going on, you know, pretty much in the community. We've tried a lot of things. We got weary, and we stopped. We need help. Praise the Lord. Right behind me here, we have a welfare room that we've been trying to build for some time. You know, it has a walk-in freezer that was donated. We're putting it up. You know, we partnered with St. Mary's and so forth. Some of us attended their training sessions and all of that to try to get ready, see how we can help the community. It's not about what we just come here and shout praise of the Lord only. It's about what we do for other people as well. And we're trying to do these things. We need help. We need help to get this done. There was a time we partnered with some food places, and we got some food every weekend, and we went through the neighborhood and tried to distribute and all of that. There was a time we partnered with and, you know, and that effort, even though it lasted for quite a while, after a while it gets tiresome. If it's the only set of same people doing everything every day, and the same people that are going to preach, the same people that are going to do this, they get tired. You know, so that also doing it alone. One time we partnered with the Phoenix Fire Department. went around this neighborhood, this 85115 zip code, installing smoke detectors and stuff like that. You know. Well, that was not a one-time event. It was just that we didn't have the energy and resources to keep these events going. Another time we started a series of health checks, free health checks. We did one here on our premises. These are things that we were trying to reach out to help the community and so forth. Nothing to do with church. It's just something, you know. Well, maybe when they are here, we speak to them and say, oh, we have a church, and then they come to church. But, you know, help the community. You know, after a while that, you know, first one was very successful, but, you know, we didn't have the, you know, numbers to support it, doing it the way. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on like that. We need help. Amen. We need people to step in and be engaged, you know. And if you put your hand into something, don't look back now, you know, because we've had people to be engaged and then look back. And some of us, even myself, you know, sometimes I'm engaged in something, I get weary, you know, if I don't get help, you know, so we need help. Praise the Lord. So these are just some examples, and I can go all day and tell you much more, but it's so many more examples. If you want to hear more, we'll be glad to tell you more. There's a lot of things that we're trying to do. And in the church, to grow this ministry here, we have this vision, you know, that for 2020, a part of our 2020 vision, as part of the catchphrase 2020, here's what we would like. We would like to see 20 new families. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's 20 adults and 20 children. We would like to see 20 new members from GCU. Can somebody say praise the Lord?
Amen.
How many of you know that GCU is just a couple of miles from here? Actually, not all, quite up to 2 miles. And we do have some wonderful ladies that have been coming from there. You know, but we've been talking about it, and we're planning to go back and re-engage with that campus. I've been talking to Pastor Emmanuel about it, that we'll be going sometime soon. We're discussing it, Pastor Peter and all. We'll be going there and trying to engage how we can reach that campus for Christ. Praise the Lord. So we have some of these things that we would like to accomplish, and we need help. You know, it's you can set these goals, but if you don't have help from the grassroots, they cannot be accomplished. Amen. Even somebody who's campaigning for political office, they can't do it alone. They need to have, it's that word grassroots that reminded me of that. I didn't have that in my sermon. But they need to have people helping them along. Now, I want to take time to thank the people that have been helping us since the ministry started. Amen.
Yes.
You know, just because I said all of this, the Bible says, even though we don't speak, we are persuaded better things of you. You know, so just because I said all of this doesn't mean there's been some very faithful people that have been helping us. There's some people that, you know, when you call the night vigil, they're there. When you call the Wednesday prayer, they're there. When they call the Friday prayer, they're there. When they call the whatever prayer, they are there. Praise the Lord. There are other people that are, you know, just faithful givers. You know, talking about giving, and this message has nothing to do with giving. I don't like to preach too much about that. But let me just throw that in, because some people wonder about that. You know, some people wonder. You know, look, don't wait. You know, and I know there's a lot of people who are project-oriented givers. And this is the reason why I don't like to talk about giving. You know, because I believe that people should give the best they can all the time anyway. Just do it that way. And we don't have to ask anybody for anything. That's what I do. You know, if somebody comes out here today and announces some main project, I'm not going to give any more than I already give. Because I already give my best all the time. Praise the Lord. You know, so you know, you can come here and tell me, I'm not going to give any more. I'm already giving more than I can give already. And that's not to be boastful. And we want people to get in there and help us. You know, so if you're waiting for us to announce some special projects, we may not. And we may. But we always have projects. So don't wait. Do the best you can. Praise the Lord. And having said that, we have some wonderful people who have been giving and staying behind the ministry since we started. We have some people that have been faithful with attendance. You know, I mean, all of these things help to build a ministry. Even your attendance, your presence helps to build a ministry. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, if we have a prayer meeting, or we have a, you know, this Friday meeting we have, which is once a month, consecration service, and we come in there and there's only 8 people. It's discouraging. You know, because once we had a 24-hour prayer meeting and almost the church were there because they were excited about something new we were starting. Well, how can we get that excitement back? And we talked about some of it in our town hall meeting last time with the young people and so forth, trying to see how they can engage. You know, so when we're trying to implement some of those things, I want to assure you that all the concerns and suggestions and people that people have brought forth, we're always looking into them. Today is more like an overall, just to try to get us on the same page. Praise the Lord. Now, 20 families, how can we do that? You know, the SWAT team, they go out on Saturdays. We reach into neighborhoods and so forth. Some of us don't speak Spanish. We don't speak some of these languages that we run into. It's hard. You know, I have a Google Translate on my phone. It's hard, you know. So, you know, and then even if we reach out people, visiting and discipleship is even beyond just the initial contacts. We've tried many things here. We tried Bible study series. We tried, you know, newcomer series. We tried, you know, all kinds of series. And when people don't come, it's kind of hard. If you are the preacher and you're preparing Bible study and you spend a lot of time preparing, and when you show up, 3 other preachers show up, and that's it, nobody else. Well, you know, that's a waste of time. You know, so we cancel that and we turn it into a prayer meeting. We say, well, when it's 2 people, they can pray. But spending a lot of time preparing a study and nobody shows up is kind of discouraging. So we need you to help us. Help us build this ministry. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to invite everybody, you know, come talk to the pastors. Come talk to me if you don't know who to talk to, you know. And let me know what you want to do, how you want to get more engaged. For those who have been doing it, I thank you. Thank God for the praise team who have been doing it. We thank God for those who are in the prayer team. We thank God for those who are in the review team and everybody, you know, that's been doing whatever they can do. But we want to do more. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to go into a small session of prayer where we're going to ask God for grace to help us. For Vision 2020, we need 20 families more than we have now. And then, you know, that has to compose of 20 adults and 20 children. You know, you say, why? You know, well, because, you know, that's how you grow. You have to set goals, you know. We want to reach out and get 20 students from GCU. Now, all of this by year 2020, if the Lord tarries. And I believe we can do it with your help. Praise the Lord. Let us stand to our feet. We're going to pray. We need your help. Show up to Bible study. Show up to prayer meetings. Get on the prayer lines. Be a part of what we're doing. Engage. We want you to engage in more than just the Sunday services. We want to thank you for your effort in coming to the Sunday services. That's good. If we did all this effort to arrange this place today and you didn't come, it would be a disappointment. But you came. So put your hands together for coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you for coming. We thank you for being a part of what we are doing. But there's a lot more that we want to do in 2019 going on through 2020. And now I want everybody to raise their hands and we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read to us the promise that God gave through Haggai. Some people call it Haggai. To these people when they prayed. When they prayed and they, you know, when they heard the word of God and they trembled at it. The Lord said, go up to the mountain and bring wood. And build the house. You know, that means get involved. Be a part of the work that is being done. And here's what he said. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord stir up the spirit of the people, the ministers, and the people together. That's my prayer. Let's lift our hands. Father, Lord, stir up today the spirit of the ministers, the preachers, the ministers of the gospel, and those of you who minister here on stage. We want you to know that you are ministers. You are not just entertainers. We're not looking for entertainers. We want ministers of the gospel. Praise the Lord. And we see you as ministers. You know, so ministers of the gospel. If you are in prayer, if you are allocated to do anything in the ministry, you are a minister of the gospel. And here is a promise, a wonderful promise that Jesus said to all the people that will get up and get involved. He said, "The Lord will help. I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified," said the Lord. "And in this place will I give peace," said the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house, this last phase of the ministry, it will exceed the glory of the former. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will do it. And he will be glorified. Now roll up your sleeves and get involved. You know, you can't spend if you spend 7 days a week working on your business, you know, you should be able to spend, or working on school or whatever, you should be able to spend a couple of hours in prayer meeting and be a part of what we are doing. Praise the Lord. If you get involved this year, the Lord is going to bless us. Father, Lord, together, beginning with myself and all the pastors and preachers and ministers with me and all the ministers of the gospel in all these various areas that we have mentioned, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will stir up our spirits to do the work, to get engaged. And those who have been doing it, I pray that they will not be discouraged in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, show us a token for good in the name of Jesus. The things that we are believing and trusting you for, and we are declaring it by faith, that we will have this growth that we are believing in the ministry. We see 20 new families, 20 adults, 20 kids, 20 students from GCU. We are believing God. If somebody believes, you can say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And we know, Lord, that you know you have helped us in the past. We're looking for even more. And I want to remind the people that God has helped us to reach so many people. If all the people, when we started ministry, you know, when we were doing homeless outreach and all of that, and all the people that we bus to church every Saturday and Sunday, and every Sunday, if all the people would gather, you know, we would need about a building that seats 2,000, 3,000 people. I know that. You know. But we did it for the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
We know you cannot grow a church with homeless people and all that, because they're not the same people every day. But we did that to establish our mindset in the gospel. But now we need your help. Get in the trenches with us. Amen.
Amen.
Get in the trenches. You know, go up to the mountain. Get wood and build in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And here's the promise that Jesus said to all those that will walk and serve the Lord. If any man serve me, hallelujah.
Yeah.
If any man serve me, he said, let him follow me. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And if any man serve me where I am, there shall my servant be also. And that's a wonderful promise. And that's the reward that we are looking for from him. Not the reward of men, not the praise of men, but if you serve the Lord, you know, the Lord said, here I am, you know, and I will bless you. I want to invite the praise team to come. Where I am, he said, you will be there also. Praise the Lord. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, he will be. And if any man serve me, he said, him will my Father honor. And that is the honor that we are looking for. Not the honor of men, but the honor that God gives. Praise the Lord. So come in and work for the Lord. And let's see what the Lord is going to do for us. Father, we thank you. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
That scripture I just read is in John.
Amen.
Let me give you that scripture before you start the music. Hold the music for just a minute. That scripture is in John chapter 12 and verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. May the Lord help us and give us the grace to serve him, that we may get these rewards. In Jesus' name, amen.